For Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective with Davey D. Hard Knock Radio features in-depth interviews and profiles with community leaders, activists, hip-hop artists, and musicians, giving voice to community concerns and offering a unique forum to explore issues relevant to hip-hop community. That's every weekday at 7 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO is hiring a data coordinator. Our data coordinator supports KBOO's fundraising activities by organizing donor information, tabulating contributions and campaign totals, and maintains KBOO's database. Experience working with Donor Perfect preferred. The deadline to apply is Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. For a full job description and more information on how to apply, see our website at kboo.fm/employment. KBOO is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer.
Radio's greatest application is in broadcasting mass entertainment. Probably one of the best ways to get started is to make it a hobby and build an amateur station. It will show you more quickly than anything else whether or not you can succeed in radio.
KBOO Portland.
Hard Knock Radio, Davey D, hanging out with you this afternoon. We've been talking all week with different people and taking different angles around the coronavirus and what did it mean politically and physically and psychologically, legally, etc., etc. I wanted to talk to somebody, a friend of mine, who is overseas. And right now, a lot of attention is on the country of Italy. That is being called the epicenter of where this virus has been exploding. A week or so ago, you had 500 people die in one day. The city or the country is on complete lockdown. This had happened early on when folks were just playing around and not taking it seriously here in the United States. I'm talking to Giuseppe Pipitone. And Giuseppe, I know you're one of the few people that's out on the streets in Milan, Italy right now. Let's talk about what's going on. Let's start with first, how are you doing and are you surprised at what has happened here? How did you first view this coronavirus situation?
Well, first of all, I'm fine. I'm entering the fourth week. Well, I'm in the fourth week of lockdown, and I'm still cool. My family is cool, and actually, though the city where I'm living, Milano, has a low number of people infected by the coronavirus, the Milano area and the Milano region, Lombardia, is actually the most affected in Italy. So out of the nearly 35,000 cases, 80% is in Lombardia. And even the numbers you were talking about included the death. These are all happening here around Milan, especially now in Bergamo and Brescia, which is 20 and 50 kilometers. So it means like 20 minutes car ride and 40 minutes car ride from Milan. So very, very close. And the situation here, as you said, is very tragic. There are hundreds of people dying on a daily basis. And though the health system is a public one and it's a very efficient, the number of novel cases on a daily basis is such that the system is about to collapse, and that's the major worry right now. They are building new hospitals all over Italy, or they are trying to turn different buildings into hospitals, and we are in the middle of it, and we're gonna see what is happening. Actually, at the beginning of January, we were, to reply to your question, we were checking the news on coronavirus on TV, and we thought it would stay in China, or if it would spread, we thought in the nearby countries, so in Asia. But at the end of January, it was understood that through travels and through people traveling all around the world, in this global world, this virus had no borders. And so it was, there were the first cases around Europe, not in Italy. Italy was the first country to close every flight from China. But they made a mistake. They closed the direct flight, but they didn't check people who were coming in indirectly. So through maybe a stop in London or in Berlin or in Dubai, as it happened. But at the end of the day, what we understood now, after nearly a month, is that when we took those precautions, the virus was already here. Probably the first people had it in a light way or didn't have symptoms at all. And so when we closed our borders, it was already late. And 3 weeks later, this is the situation. And I would never think of something like that in my life. I never experienced something like that in my life. And it seems to be in a movie. As I told you, luckily enough, me and my family and the majority of my friends are cool, and we are still sound. So we are checking on a daily basis this information on the news, on TV, on the web, but it's like leaving them externally, because they luckily enough, they still don't affect us directly. And it's very hard, because just to make an example, yesterday in Bergamo, there was one of the main newspapers of the city, which has over 10 pages with names of people who had died over the previous 2 days. There are churches who are turned into places where they have to stack bodies, because there's no place enough, and there's no time enough to do the funerals to each and everyone. It's really tragic. So I would love the people that listen to your show to really understand this and take care. This is not an hoax, like Donald Trump was saying a week ago. Now he made a U-turn, and so it seems that he's understanding what is happening. And I think everybody should keep safe, and the best way is social distancing. I mean, I know it's very hard for us, it's very hard, but this seems to be the only way, at least for now. South Korea is another example, and they are doing in a different way, in a technological way, but you know what? The cases are coming up now. They are understanding now who is dying, the age, and if they had other pathologies. A study released yesterday said that 98% of the people who have died in Italy had already previous pathologies, one or more. But at the same time, yesterday a barman, he was working as a barman. He was 32. He's the youngest person died of a coronavirus. Usually they say it affects the old ones, the elder people. It is true, but not only them. Here we are seeing, yesterday there were 458 deaths, which is three times the worst day in Wuhan.
Wow.
Okay, so we are living a situation way worse than China now.
You know, I want to go back to what you were saying earlier. And, you know, for people who don't know, Giuseppe, you know, you're knee-deep into hip-hop culture. You're a filmmaker, documentary. You're a frequent stop-off when people from the States go overseas. Many people will check in with you because of the connections and the work that you do. You're also somebody who we would say is political in the sense that, you know, you have a healthy skepticism of government. So you're not one to just kind of take things, you know, verbatim and just run with it. And so I was really surprised when you said, you know, and it was also sobering, you said, hey, don't make the mistake that we made. Take this serious. Let's go back to this, because I think what we're seeing here in the States is a number of people that, you know, we're supposed to be on social distancing, but if we go by the lake, Lake Merritt over here, people are hanging out. If you go to the parks, people are there. In Florida, you've seen the videos where people are on the beaches. And you said this is how it started off in Italy, and then they ramped it up. How have people adopted to that? I mean, you know, with a total crackdown, you know, what about civil liberties and things like that? Do people see it as the government trying to take a grab at power, or is it really, as you said, a necessity?
Well, let me say, there's a wide debate right now in Italy about that. What I mean is that it's very hard to limit all your liberties all in a sudden. And it's very hard to keep this kind of regime for many, many weeks. So it's even hard for me. It's even hard for me. As you said, I'm skeptical. I define myself a political animal. So usually I have the way to analyze the situation. I have the information and everything. But this time, as I told you, everything arrived suddenly. Nobody would expect this. Nobody knew what it was. I mean, we were thinking like SARS. It was a new virus, a new kind of flu, but it was really limited to certain areas, especially Asia. And then all of a sudden it disappeared. We thought it was something like that. Instead, it turned to be something totally different. This kind of limitation of civil liberties arrived little by little. At the beginning, our prime minister said that he would trust his own citizens, that they would enforce new rules alone without the need of someone else enforcing it. And we were relieved by this. But then, as you said, it is happening now in Florida, but I saw in New York, there was a new collaboration between Supreme and North Face, and I saw people, a line of people for blocks and blocks, all together, all one beside the other. This is the main way to spread the virus, because you don't know, most of the people, especially young people, don't know they are positive, and they won't know even if they have it and they go through it, because sometimes, as I said, it doesn't give you symptoms. Sometimes it's a light flu, but from the moment it is a light flu to the moment you need to be hospitalized because you're in a dangerous situation, it can be a matter of a few hours, just a few hours. So, as I said, this limitation of civil liberties arrived in order to protect from the spreading of this virus, which we have seen is very contagious. At the beginning, it was only in a couple of cities which were considered the epicenter, which are very close to Milan. Then it extended to all Lombardia. But as there were many people coming from the south, working in Lombardia, when everything stopped, they went back to their own towns, to their own regions, and they spread it even there, even in the south. So when they realized that most of the people were not really staying at home, and they were not really following some of the basic rules, which are healthy basic rules, like washing hands, keeping at least 1 meter distance from another person. When they realized that they weren't following not even the most basic rules, they started enforcing these rules with police. Yesterday, there was the first report. In 1 week, there were over 40,000 people stopped, and people who will be carried to court because they weren't supposed to be around. So it's a high debate, because if you want to go around alone with your mask and jogging, now they will stop you.
Wow.
If they find you around, you have to have a document where you declare that you are not positive, and you are moving around in order to go to the supermarket or to go to the store, because this is slightly different from China. This is not a total lockdown, because we have supermarkets open, we have pharmacies open. So all the supply chain to bring food, to bring medicines, is on, is still working. So there are some people who are allowed to move around the cities, but the vast majority no. And it's a high debate. And we are all questioning the government, because we want to understand what is happening, but most of all, we want to be sure that once this is over, everything gonna go back to normal.
That was gonna be my next question for you, Giuseppe Pettinoni. Pepinoni, who we were talking to, is in Milan, Italy. My question was, do you fear this will be a permanent power grab where they try to make walking on the streets the new normal, where we return to a day where police are stopping you and asking you literally to show your papers and having a totalitarian regime? And I think people are concerned about that, because we've seen all over the world, from Brazil to Chile to Ecuador to different parts, you know, with what's going on with the UK, with the Brexit and all that. And throughout Europe, we've seen the move to a right-leaning government. And so do you fear that this is going to be used as an opportunity to exploit people? And what sort of steps are people taking over there to prevent that from happening?
Okay. So I think this is the major concern for everybody. I mean, because they are changing the rise of the right all over Europe and all over the world is posing such kind of questions. And when you see your normal, your average day, your normal life turn upside down completely, and when you don't know if you can go out to buy some food, and you are stopped and you have to show a declaration only to go out and do what you do on an average day, and you have been always free to do it, it's a very, very hard for everybody. But what I would say now is that now we are questioning this thing, because everybody is locked at home. So except questioning online the government, we can't do really much. And then it's even too early. It has just started. But this is a wide debate, as I told you, which is going on. Then the most fearing thing is that they are already telling us that until a vaccine will be found, it might happen that new lockdown will be called if an epidemic starts in a different part. So what is already changing is that we know that even when once this emergency stops, it might start again whenever, because they can use it as an excuse or not. We will see. I cannot judge right now. The government we have right now is made of a populist party and a leftist party. So it has a little change. I wouldn't expect this kind of moves from the party we have right now on. I think now it's really a public concern for safety for everyone, because as I told you, there are around 3,000 novel cases each day. Yesterday there were nearly 5,000 deaths. So now it's like a toll we are ready to pay in order to go on as a country, to survive as a country.
Let me ask you this, Giuseppe.
Our grandfathers.
Let me ask you this. The way that you all are in Italy, it's, you know, I was impressed that almost immediately they made provisions. So if people have to stay home, you're not going to be on the hook for mortgages and rent and all that. How are people able to cope, you know, day to day? For example, how are you able to make sure that you get enough groceries? Do you have an income coming in? And I think that's part of the concern here, that on one hand, you have people that are being made to work, and you have these big companies like Amazon and Walmart and others that are requiring people to come into work, and they're not giving them days off unless it's their sick days. And, you know, you're seeing basketball players paying for people's salaries, but billion-dollar, you know, owners that are worth billions of dollars aren't lifting a finger. So how does the economics play out in Italy versus what you know about here in the States?
Well, let me say, David, from this side, it's totally different. I was underlying before that we have a public health system, so everybody gets in and everybody is cured without spending any money. So that's a main difference on the health side. But let's go to economics. If I have to speak about my personal situation right now, I'm one of the particular fortunate people who can do smart working from home, remote, and I keep on getting my salary, and as I told you, nothing really have changed on the economic side. But this is my specific case, and I'm a fortunate person in this moment in time. All the people who are working as freelancers have seen, or all people who are working into the show business, into concerts, into theaters and museum, they have seen their salary disappear from one day to another. So this was one of the main concern of our government, and in these days a new law is passing so that most of these people will get 500 euros a month. It's not a lot of money, but we are talking about millions of people, so it's a huge effort from a government who already doesn't have a really good economy. We have one of the biggest debts, internal debts of all the European countries, so our economic situation was already difficult. But if I have to, and our politicians were fighting for stupid things. But one of the positive aspect we are all witnessing now is that they are not fighting anymore, and they are moving in order to solve the problem of each category, each and every one. Obviously, there will be different laws coming in. There will be some problem, and probably there will be some mistakes, but they are working in a way that they are making sure everybody can be safe at home and can get the food on his table. I think while we are still a capitalistic country like all the world, but we have a different system from the US, and this is something that in a time and age like this is something that gives you hope and makes you go on a daily basis.
So I think it was interesting. So you're getting $500 a month or euros a month, but you don't have to put that towards rent or mortgage for the time being, right? So it's not like
if you like my wife has seen as she was a full-time worker. Now she works 2 hours a day because she works in tourism. As you can imagine, everything now is stopped, so they are taking care of each and everyone. And for example, now I still have a full salary, but she doesn't have a full salary, so probably even my mortgage will be stopped. I think at least for all the period of the lockdown, or they are talking about the full year. We still don't know. Yes, as I was telling you, sorry, I didn't talk about mortgages and rents, but they are moving. As I told you, this is something that I wouldn't expect, and it's a nice surprise from my government, our politician, because it's the full spectrum asking this, not just the government, the full spectrum of our parliament. And so this is something, this is a positive aspect that makes us more optimistic, because we know that as long as it can be and it will last, everybody should be able to have a place to stay and food over the table. And one of the major concerns here was that the supermarket would be empty, but this is not happening. This is not happening. The stores are always they provide food for each and everyone. The only difference is that you can get into supermarket like 10 at a time, just a certain number. So that they won't be overcrowded. You have to go get inside with a mask and gloves. And usually they are, I don't know if it's the right term in English, but use and throw. So that mask and gloves that you use just to go out that day, and then you throw away before getting home, in order not to touch anything and not to breathe something that can then affect you. And this is the main concern now. But as I told you, it's difficult, because not only the limitation of civil liberties, because there are also different kind of problem on a psychological level, because as I told you, it's the fourth week, and I'm lucky. I have a family, I have a kid, I have a wife with me, but there are lots of people who are living alone. And for them, I can tell you, it's way, way harder. It's not so easy. You are speaking to someone who is particularly fortunate, not because I'm rich and everything, but in this time and age, I still have my full wage. I have a family around me, and we are all, for the moment, we are all safe, and we have not been affected. So I really hope that, I know that it will last some more weeks. It won't stop in, like they said the first time, next week. It will go on at least till the beginning of April, and then we will see.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out, Giuseppe. Let me ask you this, as our time is short, so I want to be mindful of that for you. What advice would you give our listeners to do to really cope, as you all are going into your fourth week of lockdown, serious lockdown? What lessons should we learn from Italy?
Well, first of all, don't underestimate this. Don't go into crowded places right now. What is called social distancing now is working, and China proved that it worked, because Wuhan for the second day has just one novel case, so it means that it's almost over there. It's almost over. It's been 51 days of full lockdown, so you can understand that this is a long time and can drive someone crazy. But I think the most important thing is to learn from the countries who went through that, or who are living it at the moment, in this very moment. You have seen also Boris Johnson in the UK who said, okay, get ready to see your loved ones dying. We cannot, there's no cure, so we cannot do anything. He made a U-turn, like Donald Trump. He made a U-turn in a matter of few days. So I think the most important thing is not underestimate and to learn from the other countries. Then, as I told you, what they are asking now, they are asking us, it's very simple, is to be aware of some basic health precautions that we all should take. And there are mainly five rules, and these are the ones we talk about. These are the ones we talk about before. So wearing the mask, washing hands, keep people at a distance, even friends, because it's not a question of trust. It's that you really don't know if you have it until you test. And I know that in the U.S. There are no testing, and when there is, it's very expensive. So don't underestimate this, because once it's on, it's really, really highly contagious. And though they said it affects the elders, don't believe the hype. It's not just that. We've seen people dying around us. The most common, Milan, it was a city full of noise. What I hear now is just the siren of the ambulances. So if our experience can teach something, don't make the same mistake. So don't underestimate it. I see that some states are taking the right measure, but what I just watching the news and following the social media, talking to friends, I see that lots of people still don't believe to it. Yesterday I was seeing, I don't want to say the artist, but I saw an Instagram post from an MC who was talking about a hoax.
Yeah.
Well, I think it will be doing different posts in the next days, completely different posts in the next days. But what I fear that people following him, they just might take it lightly, and then gets affected. The health system there, I think it's very hard if you are not rich, if you don't have the economic background that might help you and pay for you. So even if there will be money coming in, I think most of the people, it's a long pathology. Even when you recover, you stay weeks in hospitals and sometimes weeks in intensive therapy. So I don't think the majority of the American can afford this. And to avoid this problem, it's very easy. It's to use your brain and to check what's going on around and to take the right measure. Because it's easy. We are not, okay, I cannot go out of my house as frequently as I want. But they have not asked to do anything in particular. It's just to keep in mind that the health and hygienic things are very important, especially in this moment in time. And then, as we were talking about also the political side of it, always question what's coming. I mean, always question, because there must be a reason for each and every move, and each and every move has to be for a specific time period.
Right.
I'm very skeptical, so we are keeping an eye on it. Now, we cannot say anything, because it's what is needed. So, as I told you, as the situation goes on, I will be able to give you more details on this, or even a deeper perspective on it. But now, we are living it. We are in it.
Right. Well,
it's pretty hard.
Giuseppe Pipitone, we appreciate you taking time out I know it's morning time over in Milan, Italy. We appreciate you giving...
It's a sunny day, too, and people are forced in their house, in their homes. So don't go to the beaches, though it's sunny.
No, I hear you. Well, you know, hopefully people hear you. You know, we're heard in different parts of the country, and hopefully they take to heart your words and look as a model in terms of having economic relief and just, you know, taking this seriously and moving in a direction that will put this behind us. So we will be in touch. We'll talk to you soon, and we're happy to hear that you and your family are doing okay at this time, especially considering the large number of deaths that have been taking place in Italy. So we keep our prayers out in your direction. Thank you very much, Giuseppe. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Hard Knock Radio. We're rocking with Picasso.
What?
And Maya.
Who?
And my last name is Susana. Yeah, yeah.
It's funny how money changes situations. Miscommunication leads to complications.
Bienvenidos a Radio Prensa Pobre. Welcome to Poor People's Revolutionary Radio. From the streets to the bus shelter, this is your co-host Muteado Silencio con voz de migrantes en resistencia. In studio today with poverty scholar, poor poet, co-host, mi carnal Tiny y mi carnal Tiburcio.
I was born into a deadly virus. Nah, it wasn't in the time of MERS, Ebola, or Osiris. It was a disease that kills, that colonizers pretend won't make you ill. They hope you reach for more of their deadly poison, antidotes like alcohol and pills. It causes chills. You feel so cold, so bad, you can't ever get well. And the worst part is for my lifetime and yours, there ain't no vaccine or white science cure. Yeah, what ails me? What has made so many of my fellow poor mamas seriously sick? Is the fatal disease of greed, wealth hoarding, and capitalists.
That was an excerpt from the most recent podcast from a poverty scholar. To hear the whole podcast on the other more deadly virus called capitalism, find podcasts from a poverty scholar on Apple Podcasts or Spreaker, or you can read the story by going to www.poormagazine.org.
The world is so small, till it ain't, till it ain't, till it ain't, till it ain't. I'm building up a wall, till it break, till it break, till it break, till it break.
On today's segment, we will speak with community healer Kiran Nigam about something that is rarely talked about, the most powerful thing we have in us to fight this terrorizing virus, our immune system.
As we begin to look at the terrifying corp rape, big pharma virus known as coronavirus or COVID-19, one of the points that we're trying to do as poor people, as houseless folk, as indigenous peoples, is connect the dots to the things that corp media will never tell you. First of all, that we even have something bizarre called an immune system. Wow. That way we could actually fight viruses and have been fighting viruses and biological warfare from colonialization for 527 years. Hello. So this isn't the first time. And, you know, terrifyingly, it isn't the worst time. But to begin this conversation and really get into lifting up listeners and lifting up our fellow poor people as we look at this thing, we invited a powerful healer and nutritionist and just amazing community person, Kiran Nigam. How are you doing? Welcome to Poor People's Radio.
Hi, Tiny. Thank you. It's good to be here with you.
It's myself and Muteado. You know, we co-host Poor People's Radio, and, you know, we all come in from poverty and struggle. And at the same time, these kinds of epidemics also are terrifying. And one of the things that we don't hear at all, I don't even hear it in independent media, is any concept of our ability to fight illness in this crazy thing called an immune system that the human body has. So I thought we'd spend some time giving our listeners and folks some hope, calming some of our mamas and our elders and talk about what that really looks like, what we can do. You know, a lot of us poor people don't know how to actually strengthen our immune system. So that's real talk, too. And that's very class and race-based. So with your beautiful knowledge, you could share with listeners about how we could strengthen our immune systems, what kind of things fight illnesses, but also just in general, how we can get stronger.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I'm so happy for your framing here because you're right, our bodies are made to fight off disease, be it bacteria or virus. And one thing that suppresses your immune system is being in a state of panic. So the more stress will suppress your immune system. So thinking and really looking to where are our strengths and what can I do is a really good framing to support your whole well-being. The first thing that you can do to support your immune system is minimize what you're exposed to. It may sound common sense, but really simple things like washing your hands all the time, more than you think you need to, wash your hands. It just means that your body has to kill less viruses or bacteria, less goes into you. So especially if you want to wash your hands before you eat and after you're in like very public settings where you're touching a lot of things that tons of people touch, what the soap does is it lifts off bacteria and viruses that are on your hands that might get into your body when you touch your nose or your mouth. So it's such a simple thing to just say, how can I make my body work less? And it works way better than hand sanitizer, just of note. It's not the same thing. Washing your hands actually lifts things off. Hand sanitizer kills bacteria, but not necessarily viruses. The other thing is to, as much as possible, get as much sleep as you're able to. Sleep plays a vital role for a lot of things that happen in our bodies, and it's really our time to recharge and to strengthen and to consolidate memory. So if you are starting to feel run down, be it from just a cold or doing too much, making some space to try and go to bed earlier or decadently sleep in can actually really, really help. It supports the immune system a ton. We are made to sleep far more than the amount of sleep that most of us get. So ideally, we want to be getting, most adults need between 7 and 10 hours of sleep. And I think most of us think, oh, if I sleep 9 or 10 hours of sleep, I'm being lazy. But it's not true. Many of us need that much sleep every night, just like daily practice. So I'm here to tell you there's nothing wrong with you. You're not lazy. If you need to sleep, sleep. The other thing is staying hydrated. The way the immune system works, I think most people know about our circulatory system. That's where your blood flows and you have a heart that pumps it. There's a whole other system in your body that circulates and it's called your lymph system. And it doesn't have a heart that pumps it. And it supports strong immune functioning to have a lymph system that flows well. And because there's not a pump flowing it, the more hydrated you are, the better it flows and the better your body is at flushing out things. Ideally, for drinking water, you want to drink half of your body weight in ounces a day. So if someone weighs 100 pounds, that's 50 ounces, just a simple half. And that does so many things, but one of the things it does is support healthy immune function.
Straight water as opposed to Gatorades and this kinds of stuff?
That's a great question. Really, you want water. You'd want to avoid any drink that has added sugar to it, because sugar actually suppresses your immune system. We have this beautiful immune system that's set up to fight off any things that our body identifies as not me, and it actually is shut down by sugar. So anytime you are fighting off sickness, illness, infection, or you're trying to not get sick, one of the best things you can do is completely avoid sugar. And so that's why water is great. If you want, you can put a sprinkle of salt or lemon juice in your water to get electrolytes, or both. But sugar is basically, I think, simply put, a poison for the body, and specifically for the immune system, it suppresses it. Another key nutrient that's so absolutely essential for an optimally functioning immune system that's as strong as possible is zinc. And zinc is in a lot of foods. Some of the foods that are highest in zinc are things like oysters, beef and lamb, turkey as well in terms of meat. And then in terms of non-meat sources, pumpkin seeds, chickpeas or garbanzo beans, cocoa powder, that means the things that chocolate is made out of. Good news, Swiss chard, green leafy vegetables are all very high in zinc. So you can eat those foods. You can also find zinc lozenges at many grocery stores.
And when you first get sick, they can be really great for boosting your zinc levels, which supports your own body's ability to fight things off. That's the difference between a nutritional approach and a medical approach. Is I'm often looking at what are the things that your body needs to do its job. So adding in zinc gives your body what it needs to do its job. I think I want to actually go to like kitchen medicine cabinet. What are things that people often have in their kitchen that can really help if you're starting to feel like you're coming down with something? And the first things that are pretty common are garlic, ginger, and onions. I'm Indian, so in my kitchen, I always have garlic, ginger, and onions. So you can cook with those, put them in with any foods you're eating. You can also make tea out of them. I make a tea that I call I Won't Get Sick Tea, which pushes the boundaries of tea a little bit, but I put in there garlic, I put ginger, I put black pepper. A fun fact about black pepper is it increases your body's ability to absorb the active components of other foods. So if you put black pepper with garlic and ginger, you're going to absorb more of the healing components of the garlic and ginger. And that's why we see in Ayurvedic medicine, there's usually black pepper included into things. And in a lot of Indian curries, we always put black pepper. Part of it's because we're able to get more nutrients and more medicinal benefit from food that way. So garlic, ginger, black pepper, lemon, and honey. Lemon gives you lots of vitamin C. Vitamin C is so good for your immune system. You can get it from lemon, you can get it from citruses, from bell peppers, from fruits. Honey doesn't ever go bad. It's antibacterial, it's antifungal. They have found honey in the tombs of the pyramids, thousands of years old, still good to eat. Unlike sugar, which will suppress your immune system, honey can actually help to soothe a sore throat and can help you fight off bacteria and viruses.
So the whole thing about juicing, just have all kinds of vegetables, I mean, that just gives a lot of different minerals and vitamins, I guess, right?
It does. One thing that to be careful about with juicing is if you're juicing fruits or sweet things, you can actually get a huge sugar bump. You don't usually eat 6 apples, but you can drink 6 apples in just a couple minutes. That's hard on the body. When you're juicing, just think about that. What am I putting in here? Am I putting 6 or 10 apples? Would I actually be able to eat that many? If not, maybe that's too much sugar for me right now. Let's mix it with carrots and celery and cucumbers and other things. The other thing is, personally, as someone who grew up being taught not to waste food, I always look at what's left over after juicing and can I use that? Can I take all of those vegetable fibers and mix them with eggs and make patties out of them so that I'm not wasting that? I know that bothers some people less, but that's something that I often think about. And that fiber is good for me.
I'm so glad that you talked about stuff that's actually affordable. Right here at Homefulness, as poor and indigenous and migrante folk, we have our own Doctora Roselia, who's Motiado's mama, and it's a lot with hierbas, you know, the herbs. Give us a little bit on some herbs, like the cilantro and the mint. You know, we can get them right here, right?
You know, herbs are some of the most nutrient-dense foods. So all green leafy herbs, cilantro, mint, oregano. Oregano is great as a tea for an upset stomach. Oregano is also very strongly antibacterial and antiviral, antifungal. So it's great for supporting during cold and flu season. Rosemary and thyme, commonly found in gardens around the East Bay, are really good for cough and colds, and you can make tea out of them as well. But adding herbs into your food is an awesome way to get more nutrients into your body because they're so dense in nutrients. Also, eucalyptus, which you can find in the East Bay Hills.
What do you do with it?
You can make tea out of eucalyptus. They're strong in flavor, so I don't ever cook with them personally. But you can make a light tea out of eucalyptus, and it's great for cold and flu season as well with lemon and honey.
Just back up on the garlic piece. I've heard from my Boriqueño family that you do like 20 garlic cloves, and then we make the caldo into soup. But I mean, how many garlics?
It's really good for you. Some people, garlic irritates their gut and gives them gas, and if that is you, then pull back off the garlic. You don't want to be upsetting your body. And for some people, eating raw garlic can be too harsh, too intense, and it hurts their stomach. So you don't want to do that if it hurts you. But otherwise, like in tea, I'll put a bunch of cloves of garlic in. I also make fire cider by putting tons of garlic, ginger, hot chilies, onions, and black pepper into apple cider vinegar. I let that sit for a few weeks, and then you can take a shot of that during cold and flu season a few times through the day, and that is super good at keeping you
wow. healthy and strong.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Have a great day.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Poor Magazine Homefulness is formally demanding a permanent end to all sweeps, all theft of belongings, and all criminalization of our unhoused people in this COVID-19 crisis and forever.
A moratorium on all foreclosures of homes owned by individual families, disabled communities, and elders.
A moratorium on all evictions of low and no income elders, families, disabled peoples, and workers in this COVID-19 crisis and forever. An end to the shutoff of utilities of families and elders and disabled peoples. Sick pay paid to all gig workers, low-wage workers, no-wage workers, and families for the duration of this COVID crisis.
Vacant and hoarded land, homes and buildings immediately redistributed to houseless families, elders, and individuals at no cost for their own self-determined movements like Homefulness, Moms for Housing, First They Came for the Homeless. And Where Do We Go, Berkeley?
To read a copy of Poor Magazine's complete demands or download it for yourself, go to www.poormagazine.org/magazine. And as well, because us poverty scholars and houseless and formerly houseless folks are constantly on the front lines, serving and trying to figure out how to support each other in this craziness called shelter in place, even when you don't have a place. Join Poor Magazine's Roofless Radio and United Front Against Displacement and Self-Help Hunger program as we continue to activate interdependence, sort of well-known as mutual aid, but for us something we do every day in America KKK, radical redistribution of resources, hoarded cleaning supplies, healing practices, and healthy food on March 24th at 1 p.m. at 24th and Wood Street in West Oakland at the encampment there. As well, we will be doing this every week at Poor Magazine at Homefulness Sliding Scale Cafe at 8032 Black Arthur in Deep East Weechin, a.k.a. Oakland. If you can support us with redistributed sanitation, cleaning, and or healing supplies, tents, sleeping bags, blankets, please drop them off at Homefulness. Again, at 8032 Black Arthur, that's MacArthur in the colonizer language, in Deep East Weechin, Oakland.
It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication leads to complication.
So that's all for this edition of Poor People's Revolutionary Radio. To see and hear more reports, go to Poor News Network channel on YouTube or subscribe to Poor Magazine channel on SoundCloud. Thanks to David D., Anita Johnson, and Anthony Fest for the media access. All power to the people.
Every man want to act like he's exempt. Need to get down on his knees and repent. Can't slip talk on the day of judgment. The movement's similar to a serpent. Try to play straight how your whole style been.
Hard knock, turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program, turn in for the real talk. Don't stop, EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man, Chris Juwan Kim. Yeah. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else is just imitation. Simulation, step into the zone, the Bay Area zone. Hard knock, radio, let's go. Big shout out to Nita and Davey D.
Yeah, right, feel me. Yeah.
Honing down at Hard Knock Radio. Kind of crazy though. Oakland, stand up.
Stand up.
Ensemble, Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on. Check out.
Why every knob is picking hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats, trying to eat to the belly from the steel gray beef. Say please. Maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Say peace to the lovers I name with a please. Hey, there's some shade on.
Real Talk Radio.
You are now rocking with the best in the West.
West Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast.
Dance out.
KBOO Portland.
It's Thursday, March 19, 2020.
There is physically nowhere to put it and no one to consume it.
Crashing oil prices have ominous implications for oil companies and oil-producing nations. Melting ice caps put sea level rise on track for scientists' worst-case scenario. Plus, more perverse silver linings as COVID-19 shutdown reduces water pollution.
All of that perversity and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I don't know how you guys are feeling tonight, but I am staying positive. Not testing positive, just staying positive.
This is your Green News Report.
Staying positive, I believe that the bottle of Purell is half full.
Okay, Desi Doyen, I don't know how you do it. You take something as terrible and horrible and awful as the coronavirus and find that silver lining somehow.
Indeed. We have been reporting how these coronavirus shutdowns around the world have had unintended benefits in cleaning up the air. Well, here's a new one. As Italy's nationwide lockdown enters its second week due to the coronavirus pandemic, Reuters reports that the water in the famous canals of Venice is now crystal clear, with fish clearly visible, and even a dolphin was photographed swimming in a canal for the first time in 60 years.
Now, why is the water clear in the Venice canals?
Because there are no boats to stir up sediment and leave pollution, and there aren't any tourists leaving pollution either.
So if we just got rid of all the humans, the planet would be fine.
Well, yes. And that is kind of what scientists are suggesting.
That we get rid of humans?
No. They say that the crisis is offering us lessons for how society can address climate change, but that's only if we choose to pay attention to them.
So if we actually all take action all at once, we can actually accomplish something in a relatively short period of time.
Yes.
Well, I guess it takes a deadly virus and a global pandemic to force us to do that.
Around the world, governments are grappling with how to stem the economic fallout from the coronavirus shutdowns. The head of the International Energy Agency, Fatih Birol, this week called on heads of state and international financial institutions to utilize the crisis as an opportunity to take action on climate change by building sustainability into their recovery plans as a requirement to receive assistance.
Well, there's an idea and another potential silver lining.
Birol told Climate News, quote, "This is an historic opportunity for the world to, on one hand, create packages to recover the economy, but on the other hand, to reduce dirty investments and accelerate the energy transition."
I like that idea.
Here in the U.S., the Trump White House has asked Congress for a $1 trillion coronavirus relief and economic stimulus plan that includes industry-specific bailouts, including a $50 billion bailout for the airline industry. Because air travel is an increasingly important contributor to global warming, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island has proposed requiring any aid to airlines come with conditions requiring them to cut their greenhouse gas emissions over time.
I like that, too.
Whitehouse said in a statement, quote, quote, "If we give the airline and cruise industries assistance without requiring them to be better environmental stewards, we would miss a major opportunity to combat climate change and ocean dumping."
Yeah, we don't have to just give them free money like we've done before. We can attach a few strings, thank you.
Oil giant ExxonMobil on Wednesday announced it will, quote, "enact significant spending cuts due to the plunge in oil prices caused by the coronavirus pandemic, crushing demand for its product."
So spending cuts like they'll stop their stock buybacks with all of that tax cut money we gave them?
And potentially reducing exploration. Industry analysts called it a stunning reversal for the largest U.S. oil producer. Exxon's stock is now at a 17-year low. On CNBC, former oil CEO David Ramsden Wood warned that the debt-ridden drilling industry, which had already created an oversupply before the pandemic, must now pull back production immediately.
If we don't shut in, storage gets full, oil goes to zero, and then producers shut in. There's no other mathematical way because there is physically nowhere to put it and no one to consume it.
The collapse in global oil prices affects more than just the oil industry. The International Energy Agency this week warned of a potentially ominous consequence with very serious repercussions for nations that get the majority of their revenue from oil sales, warning that they could see their national incomes crater between 50 to 85% this year alone. Mm. The loss of operating revenue has very troubling implications that the IEA cautioned is likely to have major social and economic consequences, particularly for nations in the volatile Middle East. Finally, looming behind all of this is still the climate crisis. New satellite data finds that the Greenland and Antarctic ice sheets are losing ice six times faster than they were in the 1990s. And if the current melting trend continues, NASA says the world will be on track to match the worst-case scenario for sea level rise projected by the United Nations.
I like that silver lining stuff you had at the beginning better.
Mm-hmm.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Dark's for the dawn, soon the pain will be gone, because every cloud has a silver lining. Hey!
And you are tuned into KBOO Portland. The time is 8 o'clock. Coming up next is Ear to the Streets of Portland, a rebroadcast of that. We just want to thank you for tuning in because we are in day 7.